Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Us Podcast, a podcast about us.
What's up, guys?
What's up? I am Angel Salinas, your beautiful co-host, and
I'm Chris Carmona.
Woohoo!
Your beautiful co-host as well.
Yes, we're both very beautiful. And we're back after another week of not being here.
Bro, it's been too long.
It's been a long fucking time. It's always a long fucking time. Even if it's a day, even if it's a month, it's always a long fucking
time. No, but it's really like legit though, like it's been like I think more than a week. At least like in between these they're like a week, but it's been
Don't break the illusion.
Shut up.
You fucking fool.
Shut up, Angel. Let's go.
Let's jump right into what we're talking about today.
Sure.
And it's something that a lot of people might relate to, which is college.
Yeah.
College and school in general. And I'm going to phrase this in a funny way. College. I'm going to title this in a listicle article. College, is it right for you? That's the topic of today.
Yeah, we were talking about like what we wanted to discuss, and the reason why I brought up college is because I, you know, obviously everyone's posting on the gram that they're graduating and like.
Well, for you,
what do you mean for me?
Because like,
oh, because
people graduated for me a long time ago.
Okay. Well, yeah, for me, you know, it's already been 4 years since I've been in high school, so I'm seeing everyone like, oh, I graduated from UC Irvine, fucking Santa Barbara, all these places, and so I just like, it's funny because like I'm posting about like different things. You know, different accomplishments, and then these guys are like, hey, I'm leaving school again, you know. So that's why it seems funny to me. That's why this would be an interesting subject to talk because I didn't go to college, for those who don't know.
I feel that. I had that experience, like, I graduated in 2012, so this happened to me, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about my experience. I felt pretty shitty.
You felt shitty?
Yeah, I felt pretty shitty watching everybody
graduate. Wait, you didn't go to college? I thought you did.
I did. So at the time of this recording, I have been going to community college. I finished going to community college, but I've been going on and off for the last 6 years, and I'm just now transferring to university. So it's been 6 years of community college, and then 2 years ago is when most of the people that graduated with me graduated from four-year university. And then, like, a couple of stragglers the year after, and then this year as well. But for the most part, the majority of my class graduated from university 2 years ago. And yeah, watching all those graduation posts, it made me feel pretty shitty. But at the same time, I try to tell myself, like, you know, we're going in different directions. We're going in different paths.
So I was going to ask you, like, when you saw that, like, were you already like on the film path? Like, were you like serious? Like seriously on the film path?
I mean, I've been on the, I would like to think I've been on the same path since I graduated high school. But I think I've had enough accomplishments to my name in the last few years that I'm like, I've come to realize that I'm just doing different shit than everyone else. Like, I'm proud of my accomplishments, and also seeing people like out of high school and not being able to find a job and working at like fucking Walgreens with a degree in biochemistry and shit. Like, dude, that shit, it's just like, you really start to think about like, man, was I better off in the long run? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just all these things. But you never took a single semester of college?
I think the closest thing I took to college was like right after I did the Inner City Filmmakers program. My mom signed me up to do a speech class. And not even at ELAC, like it was they have another campus where I live in Southgate. So I did that. I went there for like not even a semester because I in the middle of it, I was doing pretty good too. Like, I was getting solid grades, but then we were about to shoot a short for 48 Hour, and it was the short I made that was called Fingered. And I wasn't gonna have enough time to balance school, like the one class I had in shorts. I'm like, all right, whatever. And you know what? I'll say this now. Like, at the time, I remember like I was just missed class like a bunch, and like the, like, because you only get three chances. So like the third day, I remember this vividly. I just finished Slang, and I was laying in bed with my ex-girlfriend, and we were just there, and then she's like, hey, don't you have to be in class right now? And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, well, that's it.
Fuck you, baby. I've made my choice.
No, it wasn't even like that. It was just like, I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, I guess that's it. Like, that's the end of my college career.
So you didn't even try?
No, I didn't. I gave up.
You were just waiting. Really. You just wanted an excuse to fucking stop going.
I did, yeah.
So did you
stop going, continue pumping?
Did you enjoy any of it?
I liked it, but I mean, because it was interesting, like, you know, being, yeah, it was, I thought it was okay, but I knew it wasn't for me. Like, I knew that, like, if I was going to do anything, like, it was just going to be this one class. Like, I had no ambitions to go to college. I mean, but it's funny because I was in a different place in my life then, too. Like, the only thing I had really accomplished was going to that program. And then, as you know, like, the only thing I really accomplished by that point was I won, like, the top prize from Inner City Filmmakers. Like, that's it. But, like, that's it. Like, that sounds like, you know, kind of like bragging, but really, like, what did I win? Like, a plaque for a short.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, like, to me, like, that was huge, but like, it wasn't really much. And so even though I was kind of like in a weird place where I didn't know where I was going to go with my career, like, am I going to be a production assistant forever? Or am I going to, like, what am I going to do? I don't think I was in production assisting at the time. The point is that, like, I just knew that, like, there was no way I was going to do college. Not just because I was, like, viciously against it, but just because, like, it bored me.
Okay. Real quick side story. You mentioned a short film you did called Fingered. And I remember that shirt.
You remember that shirt?
Specifically, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember what you said when you got up to do your little Q&A.
Oh my God.
Chris goes up and he takes the microphone and we're like in this little theater and his movie's called Fingered and we just watched it. And Chris is like, did you guys like getting fingered? And it was in that moment where I was like, I fucking hate this guy.
That's where it was born for Angel.
That's where my hatred was born. I was like, look at that. I was like, this dude thinks that shit is real funny. And so I was like, wow. So
for me, college is just, I guess we can get into it in a bit, but like my whole stance on it is just like, I think for me, I don't think this applies to everybody though. That's the thing. Like when I say like, for me, I always joke with my friends, like, you guys are fucking wasting your time. Fuck college. I know that it probably works for them. I mean, it definitely works for them, but for me, it's just like, I can say that just because I know it definitely doesn't work for me. But what's your like personal stance on it?
Well, before I tell you my personal stance, can you really say it doesn't work for you when you've only really taken like one class?
I don't think I need to take college to understand what it is. Like, I mean, I've been to school all my life. It's pretty much that. I mean, obviously on a more relaxed scale where you don't have to, like, you technically don't have to attend all your classes or whatever. Like, you can miss it. I know it's more intense, but like, I just, to me, like, the idea is the same. Sitting in a room when someone's telling you what to do, or what, like, this is what I'm teaching you, and then, you know, do your homework and slave away on an essay and I will decide if it's good or not. It's like, I've done that already. It's not really useful to me.
Well, I would disagree, and I would say that college is a lot more interactive, and I think it's a lot more, they treat you more like an adult because everyone that is taking classes are adults,
right?
And so you're going to have good you're going to have good professors and you're going to have bad professors. There's good professors that will like not put a lot of pressure on you in terms of like homework or assignments and that actually are there to, you know, fucking teach you some shit. I had probably one of the greatest professors in my whole lifetime. Her name's Amber Catherine from Santa Monica College. Shout out to Amber Catherine. She is a philosophy professor. Hopefully she's still there and hope she's there forever. She was fucking dope. I took a philosophy class. It was fucking dope. And then I took another philosophy class. And then I took another philosophy class. And I didn't even need those last two. But I just like loved. I felt like I was learning so much and growing so much from her classes that I was like, I just don't want to stop taking her classes. And so I think those kinds of classes are few and far between when you go to college, but they do exist. And of course there's going to be those classes that you have to, that you fucking take and you're like, I'm fucking miserable learning the stupid ass math, learning the stupid ass science, whatever.
Yeah.
You just got to get through it. And I think those are the class. I will say, I think those are the classes that stops most people from finishing college. It's like those fucking busy lecture classes that are just like, I don't want to do this. And then they just fucking don't.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, that's why I'm saying, like, that my everything I say about college is just it's purely tailored to who I am. Mm-hmm. Because to me, you know what? I'm going to stop saying that because I was listening back to our podcast and I say, because to me, I'm like, fuck, stop saying that. So personally, I don't, college dude is just like, it's like, why are you going to, to me personally, I have to use this to Chris. It's like, why am I going to spend all this money just so I can kind of like, you know, like I'll enjoy moments of it. I'm sure, you know, the college experience, getting to like, you know, have like discussions with adults and everything. But like, overall, it's like, dude, like, I don't want to be in debt right after that. That's the, like, that's pretty much the big thing. Like, my main argument is just like, okay, sure, maybe it is great. Maybe you do get that one inspirational class, the Dead Poets Society shit. Like, yeah, sure, that'll probably happen. But like, in the end of it, you're gonna be in fucking debt.
That's true.
Why would I want that?
That's true.
Why the fuck would I want that? Like, I could give a fuck about having a great moment in class where everybody was just like in agreement with each other. But like, ultimately, it doesn't leave that classroom. And you know what? I think it's funny that it's kind of what we were talking about last time when we were talking about, like, would you rather have a bad experience making a movie, but it be a great one, or have a great experience on it and then be a piece of shit? And to me, fuck, I say that so much to me. And
but
I think it's just like, I just don't see the point of it.
You don't think it's worth it?
There you go.
You don't think it's worth it? Like, when you compare experience to how much money you spend, you don't think it's worth it?
Right. And if you're someone that, because I'm fortunate enough where I've always known what I wanted to do. So there was no like, oh, I got to figure it out. It's like, ever since I was 5, I was like, all right, this is what I want to do. I know what I fucking want to do. And so I understand that for people, like, it's a place for you to kind of figure yourself out. But I didn't need any figuring out, so maybe that's a big part of too why I don't think it's necessary for a guy like me.
For sure, I will say my answer to that is I kind of agree with you. A thing I always tell people is that go to college if you can afford it.
Mm.
If because I will say my family made enough. How do I say this? We didn't.
You guys are poor enough.
Yes, exactly. There you go. That's the fucking best. We were poor enough for me to not have to pay pretty much a dime to go to college. I got enough financial aid to fucking cover everything. Mm. And some people aren't so lucky. Some people are actually stuck in this like weird middle zone where their family doesn't make a lot of money, but they don't make low enough money for financial aid. And then and they just get stuck in this fucking zone where it's like, well, college is too expensive to afford on this fucking lower middle class fucking income. And so I totally agree on that. Like, go to college, but don't go broke going to college, I think. That's one of my final answers.
That's the thing. Like, I can't, like, for me, I'm happy to say, like, yeah, fuck college. It's not for me. But I'm, as much as I hate college, and, like, I've made a promise to a couple friends that, like, once I'm 4 or 5 movies in,
You're going to be a James Franco and go back to college?
No. I'm going to get a tramp stamp that says fuck college. Like, once it's really secure, I'm going to get a tramp stamp that says fuck college right there, right above my ass.
Damn. You believe that you believe that so much. You're like, well, to fucking prove it, I'm going to get a motherfucking tramp stamp.
Exactly.
On this bitch.
Well, and that's why I say, like, for me, like, for, I can't, like, I wouldn't, as much as I'm strongly against it, like, just for a person like me, I would also not, like, sway anybody otherwise either, you know?
So,
unless you really need it. But then again, it's like, there's just so many, like, my mom's against it now. Before, she wanted me to go, but she's like, nah, fuck college. It's like, it's so crazy to hear my mom say something like that. So, I know you don't want to break the illusion, but I think we should break it. We have 3 guests just quietly watching us, and I'd like to shut them up before we continue.
So if you hear any noises,
any creaks, giggles,
any
we have Jonathan, our guest from the last episode. He's chilling.
He's just chilling, hanging out.
We have
Gabriel.
Gabriel.
A good friend of ours. He's chilling.
George Constantine.
I accidentally hit the microphone.
Damn, we're just shattering the illusion.
Yeah, and then Jorge.
Jorge.
Do you like being called Jorge?
Are you guys brothers?
No.
Oh, wow. Go for it.
No, we're not. You're not allowed to talk. This isn't a fucking... This isn't a guest episode.
Jorge.
You told me to stay quiet and you involved me.
Angel's getting mad. No, keep going, keep going. I love
shit.
It.
Cut the shit.
Angel, we gotta give him everything. Oh, we gotta give him the whole raw sauce.
All this shit is getting edited out.
No, it's not. I'll make sure of it.
Make sure it is.
I own the fucking equipment, motherfucker. All
right. No more talking, man. That was your fucking moment in the fucking spotlight. I fucking knew it was gonna happen. I fucking blame you, Justin. You son of a bitch.
I didn't do anything.
Fuck you.
All right, for sure. All right, here we go.
Anyway, fuck. Oh, your mom says fuck college. Oh, this is what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask if these like young impressionable kids came up to you and were like, Chris, should we go to college? What would be your honest response?
Well, my first question would be like, well, what are you trying to do? Like, if you're trying to be a film director like me, I would say absolutely not. Here's the thing too. I would never tell anybody don't do it. I just say like, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's important. You can if you want, but I wouldn't. That's all I would say. And the reason is because I'm like, I was going to say for me. I obviously didn't go to college. And for me, I said it.
That's your fucking.
You know what? Okay, that's gonna be the us podcast game. Every time, take a shot. Every time I fucking say for me. Jesus Christ, I hate it. Okay, the game Gabriel and Jorge, I'm about to take a shot. Okay, anyway, I would just say like it's not important, but if you want, you know, for other reasons, if you just want to have the experience, sure, go ahead and do it. But to me, it just seems like you're kind of just like giving away 4 years of your life just. So you could do what you're told you're supposed to do. I didn't need it because I just jumped right into the set experience right after high school. I was fortunate enough where I got like a couple of opportunities, but it wasn't until I did Team Oscar that people took me more seriously, and then I got like bigger offers. And so I know that it can't work that way for everybody, but you know, that's just kind of what I would say.
I would say if you don't go to college, you're going to miss out on a lot of life experience. And I truly believe that. I think, well, people say, I say this. People say, and I also say, that going to college, you know, it fucking teaches you more shit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of going into the workforce just with a high school education, you know? Like, I didn't learn shit in high school. And to think of people like that's where they capped in terms of their education, like that doesn't sit well with me. So I feel like everyone should go to college because it'll fucking teach them shit. Even if they don't want to, it'll teach them like more shit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with learning more, you know?
No, definitely. No, there's definitely nothing wrong with learning more. But I just think for me, like, and it's funny, I agree. And it's, to me, it's hilarious that like when we were, I was filling out some paperwork for the film festival I was a part of. And they said, it's like, education? No, like what education? Yeah, I just wrote high school. And it felt kind of silly.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, but that's fucking cool. Like I have a high school education and I got a fucking movie playing here. That's nuts.
I guess that is cool. But also like.
I understand.
I feel bad for you, bro. No, I don't feel bad for you.
No, I know.
I just wish, like, I don't know. There's a lot of shit that I didn't think I needed to know that now I know.
I just feel like you could also get, like, you know, like, everyone thinks that the college experience is exclusive to college. It's like, dude, like, I'm having the fucking college experience when I'm working on sets now. It's like, dude, like, that's my college experience. Fucking, like, you know, like getting to work with all these people and like making a fucking piece of art for like whatever, like for money that we're using, like we're using the money that we would be spending on books on just the fucking budget of the whole thing. And that to me feels much more worth it. You know,
I agree. I think in terms of film production, like there's no better schooling than actually doing it. And that's why I'm not personally going to school for film production. I'm going for film theory.
Right. I would also say, like, if you're trying to be a filmmaker, don't go to school for... If you're going to go to college and you're going to be a filmmaker, don't go to college for film.
Yeah.
Learn exactly. Other things.
I think doing it in this sense...
If you're going to do
think,
that, don't waste your time. Yeah,
exactly. But I feel like all the other shit you learn in college helps you as a filmmaker. Like, taking art history, taking fucking philosophy, like, taking all these classes... That just like just fucking educate you, and then you just see shit differently. I think like, just as a fucking fun fact, Larry David, who's a co-creator of Seinfeld, is like a history major. So there's like a ton of fucking history references in Seinfeld.
Yeah, if I have to, you know, if I'm being totally honest too, like there are a couple things like that I am a little. that I know if I want to throw in, like you know, like, kind of a weird example, but Joss Whedon has, like, a lot of biblical references, like, in Avengers. And I know that just because I grew up Christian, but obviously some other teenagers, like, or other people, they learn that in school. They learn about other religions. And I'm sure that's where he got it from. And so I'm like, sometimes I'm like, fuck, like, I would like to throw in, like, a literature reference in one of my things. But if I'm going to do that, like, I have to seek out a book myself, you know? So it's a little bit more of extra work, but that's the one thing I wish I could say, like you know, where they throw in, like, historical, like, sometimes I wish I could have been that, like, well-versed in just, like, my education to kind of just, I'm going to throw this in, you know, rather than referencing, like, other movies or whatever, you know?
I mean, I think it all just comes down to the point of, like, you have more stuff to pull from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. It's true.
And so, like, I didn't really like art history, but now I know a bunch of shit, you know, and maybe that shit will come in handy one day, but, even just looking at all these, like, different artists that came through the fucking pipeline or whatever, like, now that stuff's in the back of my mind, now I can recognize a piece of fucking art, even if that shit's, like, a fucking urinal with some writing on it. That's a famous sculpture. It's, like, a fucking urinal with some writing on it.
Ah.
And then there's, like, this fucking golden statue of Michael Jackson with his monkey. That's also a fucking piece of art. You know, shit like that I'm like, what the fuck? And then philosophy just taught me all these, like, different fucking philosophers and shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. Just things to expand your brain, expand your fucking, your repertoire of things to pull from.
Yeah, I guess for me it's just, like, when it comes down to it, there's no... My only reason for not wanting to go to college is just more like practical purposes, not necessarily educational purposes. Definitely. I mean, you're right. There is nothing wrong with learning a little bit more.
I will say, I don't think anyone goes, fuck that, I don't need no more education. Like,
right.
I don't think anyone does that.
And that's definitely not why I'm against it personally. Yeah. But, like, yeah.
Like, no one graduates high school and is like, I'm good. Yeah. I don't think there's anything else to learn.
I pretty much got it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and no, yeah, I mean that, yeah.
So college is not for you, not for but me. You wouldn't discourage anyone.
I wouldn't discourage anyone, but I wouldn't encourage it either. Okay. Is my bottom line.
Do you ever, you wouldn't discourage, but all you'll say neutral.
Yeah, like, I won't say don't do it. I'll just make fun of you, but, like, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be like, that you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, here's to tie it back to the beginning of it. When you were seeing all your friends graduate, how did you feel? Because I told you how I felt, but I didn't hear how
you
felt.
Well, you know, what were you doing in your life by that point? Let me ask you.
2 years ago, I finished an internship at Macro, and I think I was doing... a year-long editing program. Mm. So, like, I was doing some shit.
Yeah.
But not, like, I wasn't fucking...
Right.
...famous or anything, but still.
Right.
I wasn't doing nothing.
Right. So when I, you know, right now, at this point in my life, especially when I saw the graduation posts, I always wondered how I would feel. Like, I'm like, how am I going to feel? Because, like, you know, like, that's kind of like the big sign. Like, you know, when it's happened, when they're going to college, you don't really care. But I know when you see those photos, that's kind of where people get, like, hurt, if you didn't go to college especially. Mm-hmm. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, shit, it's been 4 years already. And that's pretty much where it capped out. And I honestly wish I could tell you that, like, I got, like, a little upset or disappointed. But I'm like... at the time, I was posting fucking photos from, like, the set that I just got off of, Instant Crush. And so to me, I even wrote it in the caption, like, everyone's graduating, so am I too. Like, I fucking graduated from this set or whatever. Like, I graduated to a new level of, like, a new step in my career. Like, now where I get to be professional.
You're like, hashtag no shade.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why, and I even tagged it with class of 2018. Oh, and, like, God. Yeah, because I'm like.
You're so petty, bro.
No, I just thought, no, it wasn't at anybody directly, but it's just like, dude, you know what? Yes, it kind of was petty because it's like I'm doing what you could have been doing just 4 years ahead of you. You know, like that's just to me, like, I just think it's like, and it's not me trying to be an asshole, but it's just like, I'm just proud. It worked out for me. I'm just proud that it worked out for me. Like, that's it. The truth is, it can't work out for everybody. But I'm grateful, first and foremost, that it worked out for me. But it is a little bit of, like, teasing. It's like, enjoy the next 4 years trying to get to this point. You know, where you'd be in your careers.
So what I'm getting, I feel like you think the people that graduated kind of wasted their time.
You definitely, in my opinion, this isn't factor
for me.
Personally, I believe that you're forced. I'm 4 years ahead of you.
Okay.
That's it.
You think?
Because I went out to the real world, you know, like right away. Yeah, I was thrown into it, you know? And again, this isn't to say that, like, I did it all myself. You know, we talked about how, like, I had the fortune of being, you know, in my dad's place and, you know, him giving me the space to just kind of work and do my things. So I understand. I did have help, but I still was thrown out into the real world. And I'm glad to say that the 4 years that I was just kind of out there, that people were probably thinking that I was a fucking bum. Now that while they're graduating, they're saying that I'm fucking posting photos, like, from like, my first set. They're like, oh, wow, like, he wasn't just being a fucking bum. Which is, like, point is that it can work out either way. It can work out with college or without college, I think. If you really have the fucking balls to do it, though.
I think so, too. I think a thing that I actually want to talk about, just I just thought of it right now by talking.
What's up, bro?
Do you feel like it's important that people know that you're, like, doing successful things? Like, is that important to you personally?
You mean like posting on Instagram and stuff?
Because I'll say for me, I like showing when I'm at cool places or when I'm doing cool things, because I want people to know that I'm not a lazy bum, that I'm not fucking sitting at home and doing shit, because that's how I feel people perceive me all the time. And so I try to put the best parts of my life on fucking Instagram, which is, I think, is what a lot of us do. But then at the same time, it's like, when I see other people do that, I feel bad. So am I making someone feel bad?
Also, isn't it... That's a fucking great question. I'm so glad you brought that up. And also, isn't it funny that when you kind of run out of good things to post, you kind of feel whack? Because like, you're like, fuck, like, I'm out of like the dope shit.
It's like, damn, I had a
now
dope...
it's just a selfie of me.
I had a dope day yesterday, and now I'm back to fucking being a potato at home.
Yeah. So yeah, it's funny. Me and Brandon, we were having a conversation, because Brandon, my brother, just graduated high school. And he said, dude, he's like, these next years of my life, he's like, people are just going to think I'm fucking being a bum. Because he's working on his second album. He's like, but it's crazy. Everyone's going to college and everybody knows that I'm not going to college. He's like, now I'm just going to think I'm being a fucking bum. He's like, was it like that for you? I'm like, yeah, dude. Everyone just thought that I was just going to be a fucking bum kid, like, sleeping at my mom's house and everything. He's like, but they didn't know that I was working. And now, you know, they're saying, like, oh, shit, he was actually working on something. I said, so it's going to be like that for you. If you can endure, like, the little bit of public scrutiny where they're like, dude, this musician is fucking, like, you know, didn't go to college, he's just staying at his parents' house. Now he's doing deliveries for his dad, which I did in my first years out of high school. But it's like, sorry, what were you going
to
say?
You don't think you can do both? You don't think, like, just hypothetically, you don't think Brandon can go to school and also work on his second album?
He doesn't want to go to school. Even if he did, I think it's more important to just get, to jump. Creatively, when you're trying to get on a creative endeavor, I mean, what do you really need to go to school for, like, to make music? Like, I don't see, I mean, we talked about, like, with him.
I say life experience. That's my biggest thing. Because it's like, how interesting could a high schooler be? Like, how interesting can your music be when you're in high school? You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I just think, though, like, that, you know, because he's kind of, you know, he's already well-versed in just, like, different styles of music. And he just, like, he takes the extra step to, like, list, not just to keep listening to the Strokes, like, he's gone beyond that. Like, he'll seek out, like, the Reddit threads, like, hey, weird underground bands like Sonic Youth, like, what else sounds like Sonic? And he just, like, dives himself into his new music. And, like, to me, fuck.
Take a shot, everybody.
I just said to me. When I see Brandon doing that, that's his education. He's well versing himself in people in the area, people underground, and he's seeing what the public likes. He's like, okay, he's like, so this is what they're into. He's like, and this is what I like from, like, the Beach Boys. Like, so how do I mold that into my, and I remember when he listened to the Beach Boys, like, dude, I got so many fucking great ideas. And I just think if you're a true genius, you don't need school to add anything more. To at least to be inspired. To educate is different, but to be inspired, I mean, it just comes to you. So back to the point of your question where you asked about, do you think it's cool to post pictures?
Do you think it's important? Is it important for you to post, like, when you do cool stuff?
I think so. Mostly because my whole narrative right now is just like, dude, look what a fucking D student from Maywood Academy is able to achieve. And it's like, and, you know, it's funny, like, I always, you know, like, I feel like you can tell what people's intention is whenever they post things. Like, there's another filmmaker that I know that whenever he posts something, I can tell he's just doing it merely to prove a point. He's like, look what I'm doing. But it's very, you could just tell, like, the way he poses for it too is very like, fuck you.
Okay.
And so that's why, like, whenever people take pictures of me, like, I try to just, like, smile just so, not make a face. Like, because sometimes I want to be funny about it, like, look what the fuck I'm, like, I want to be like Lil Pump or something, you know, like, look what the fuck I'm doing. I'm 19 years old, bitch. Esh, get it. But, like, I'm like, no, like, really, like, I'm only, if I post, it's just because I want people, there's kids, dude, like, you've seen this, I posted this on Instagram, but there's kids who've reached out, like, after I posted about Bad Labor getting to the film festival, about shooting Instant Crush, like, dude, like, you're from Bell, I'm fucking from Bell, if you can fucking do this, that means I can do it. That's what it's all about. To me, it's like, you know, like,
you want to make your presence known.
Exactly, and that's why, you know, everyone makes fun of me for this, but that's why I even make, like, a thing about my name, because it's just, like, people need to know that, like, This name, Chris Carmona, fucking belongs to this guy. Like, just this, like, just this dude. Like, I like to kind of give myself this, like, larger-than-life persona. But really, I'm just a fucking dude. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm just the dude that's sitting in a room with a bunch of other fucking dudes, you know?
We're sitting down with a bunch of dudes, drinking beer, making a podcast.
Right. And so, ultimately, I think it is important, especially with what you're trying to do, because people can always just tell, like, with your art, with pictures. I feel like whenever I see your, like, stuff, your stories on Instagram, you're doing it just to be fun. You're doing it to be fun. Like, whenever you post, like, yourself, like, it's like you're fun and you're fucking doing shit. So, like, that's the perceived image I get of you. But sometimes you could just see people that are, like, just like, oh, look at him on this. Like, you just see the aggression. Look, I'm fucking doing this. I'm on this set. Look what I'm fucking doing. Look at this. You know?
I know exactly the kind of people you're talking about. It's mostly, it's people that do the fucking same. They're on set and they just do this, like, slow, like, panning of the whole set, being like, look at all these.
It's like, dude, chill. You're just a PA. Like, that's not your set. Yeah, you know?
Stuff like that. I totally get that.
And so, and to the question that I think is very important that I would love to answer about, how do you feel about people potentially getting mad at
getting mad or feeling bad?
I don't, like I said, people can tell what your intention is with a post. Maybe not like they can, like, ooh, this is why he's doing it, but you get a vibe. You can get a vibe right away, like with the caption, with your face that you're making or whatever. So I have wondered that sometimes, like when people see my stuff, I'm like, dude, I'm, you know, like, because I just did a Bad Labor, our movie just played at a festival, you know, we're getting all these accolades and like these notices, and I'll post them just because I'm like, dude, look what the fuck I'm able to do. And I wonder, I'm like, are people like, I wonder if people kind of like get jealous. And to me, another shot, guys, I said to me, when I see that, when I think about that, I wonder if people do get mad, but I don't think there's any reason to get mad because... I mean, it's easy for me to say that because I've been on the other side of the spectrum. I've seen people, and I would get mad. And here's the one piece of advice that I actually shared with Angel like a long time ago that I learned and can benefit you. So if you're someone, and it doesn't necessarily have to be film. If you're a musician, if you're an artist, and you see that like other people in your field are fucking going further than you and they're doing so much better than you, think about this, okay? Whenever you see that post and you look at it, if you get mad, you're fucking yourself over. Why? Because you're telling your brain, ooh, this is success. I don't like success. Your brain doesn't recognize that that's not you. So when you see that, your brain goes like, ooh, success? Don't like that. Keep me away from that. Instead, even if you have to force yourself, when you see other people ahead of you doing better, just be like, that's fucking... Even if you hate them, just be like, dude, that's fucking cool. Like the pic... Even, you don't even have to like it, but just look at it. Just show yourself, show your brain, show your subconscious that like, yes, I approve of success. And so your brain's like, oh, okay, how do I get you there now? How do I get you there?
Yeah, my problem has always felt like, like I'm falling behind. Yeah. And I feel like, fuck,
that's,
man.
That's why people get mad. Because you see other people advancing. You're like, fuck, why aren't I doing that? I'm better than this person. But like I said, you have to train your brain. Because your brain's looking out for you. And, it's a very... It's like Drax almost from Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a very literal character. So when you see... Doesn't matter who's in it. Doesn't matter if it's a person you hate. If you just see a picture of success... And you get a negative reaction to that, your brain's like, ooh, don't like that. Let's stay away from that.
It's like, let's not get there.
Let's not get there. Instead, just be happy. Be like, that's dope. I love it. And then forget about it. Don't look at it again.
I heard some great advice this weekend at Naleep. Shout out to Naleep.
Naleep.
And it was some super simple advice. And it came from my homie Marvin Lemus, co-creator of Hentified. He he said this thing where anytime you see someone who's doing either, in your opinion, better than you or who's farther than you, eyes on your own paper. Fucking focus on your own shit.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Don't be looking at other people because that's not benefiting you.
It really doesn't.
It's like focus on your shit, on your success, and fucking be the best version of you that you can be.
I used to get really mad when I'd see people like that I considered myself like better. Yeah. You know, and this is before I even had the movie, and I'd be like, fuck, like why are they getting these opportunities? Like it's like shut up, go create an opportunity. And then that's where you come up with an idea to make a movie. That's where you like once you just kind of stop being such a fucking like hateful like hater and just think like, okay, well, why aren't I there? Like what am I not doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, yeah, we talked about this, how like we stopped ourselves from being creative just because like we would just sit around and judge other people's things,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not have anything to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd just be like, oh, fuck that. I could write something funnier. I could direct something doper. But we
that's how all of the greatest stuff got made. Like Kevin Smith, when he saw Slacker, he's like, do they think this is funny? Yeah. I can make something funnier.
And then the only difference is some people will say that and not make a movie.
That, yeah, it ends there for some people. Yeah. But like if you fucking talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. So fucking show them why you deserve to be there and why you deserve to be on the other side of that interaction where you're the one posting dope shit and that person's like, fuck, why are they doing better than me? Because it's actually funny. Like now I feel like the person that I used to hate, now it's a reverse situation. Like when they see like my stuff, mm-hmm, when they like it and they comment, I'm just like, dude, I could just feel the ungenuineness from you. Like, I know that you're like
they're
mad.
Just like, that's really cool, dude.
So fucking proud of you. Great shit. I can't wait to fucking see your movie.
So fucking dope, dude. I'm glad that you're making our community proud. Dude, I can't believe that fucking Kevin Smith made Clerks while he was like working at a convenience store. And it's like, I find it so hard to fucking juggle working like a fucking part-time job.
Yeah.
Going to school and still finding the time to fucking be creative, you know? Like, that shit is fucking tough. Like, currently, right now, I have a part-time job plus an internship, and my only free day, literally only free day, is Saturday. And so I'm like, I can either relax all of Saturday or fill up Saturdays with, like, personal shit, like meeting with other writers and working on personal projects and shit like that. And it's just, like, it's fucking exhausting. What's your experience with part-time jobs, if any?
People, I feel like every time I speak, people just like fucking hate me more and more. Like the hole just gets deeper.
Hmm.
But I've never really like had a job per se. Like I've worked on sets, but those are kind of like
those are jobs.
No, they're jobs, but they're not like
you never worked at. A, like,
they're
retail.
Like they're like a couple of days, you know. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, they're not like, oh, you know, you're here for a month or whatever, you know.
You've never had a retail
unless
job.
You're working on a movie, and those even come few and far between. So the jobs I've ever had in my life were PAing, but when I was just starting out, my dad, we used the truck that we used in Bad Labor. We used that truck to deliver pallets, and that's been like my biggest source of income, even to this day. Like I still do it every now and then.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I drive my dad's truck, and I'll go to his work. He'll give me two pallets, and then I'll take him around like LA, and then come back. I'll have like a full day of just like delivering pallets, and then. And that's my day, and I make pretty good money off of that.
See, I thought you never worked a fucking day in your life.
There no,
you
I have. Yeah, I'm a working man. See, I do stuff.
That's the kind of shit that I can't do. Like, I feel more comfortable behind a register, shit like that.
That's dude. This is beautiful. Okay, so you like retail stuff. You feel more comfortable.
I wouldn't say I like it, but I'm more comfortable doing that than fucking lifting pallets.
I enjoy laborious stuff. Like I enjoy it's funny. Like after a while, because I've been doing PAing for like 3 years. I've been doing PA for 3 years, and I stopped once like things for Bad Labor started taking off. But for a little while, I was just kind of doing PA work just to kind of pay for the rest of the movie for color and everything. But once I paid the whole movie off, I stopped. And I realized, I remember I told my ex-girlfriend this, I was like, you know, like, I don't know why, and this sounds fucked up, but I don't even like being on sets anymore, like, if I'm not, like, the one, you know, running it. I'm like, I feel more fulfilled delivering a pallet from one place to another in, like, Southeast LA than I do being in fucking Silver Lake, you know, picking up after white people's trash.
That's crazy.
It's weird. I don't know why. Like, it just, I love just doing that. I love driving. You get to blast my own music, you know, just like pick up Chipotle whenever I want,
so
you know.
So you never hated delivering pallets?
No. I mean, it would get exhausting for sure, but I was never like, oh, fuck this, because it really was like, it's what's been sustaining me, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I know people just think that, like, I wake up every morning and say, hey, daddy, can I get 60 bucks? Here you go, Chris. Go have fun.
Oh, that's not the Cremona life?
That used to be. It's not that anymore.
What happened?
Well, now we just kind of give each other a tug. We don't really kiss each other anymore, me and my dad.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But, no, I mean, yeah, that's how I make my money. I just, because I help out his company with doing those deliveries, and so I've had a few mishaps too, where like the pallets have fallen off the truck and they're in the middle of the street
shaking my head
and I gotta pick them up.
So for the most part, work hasn't really affected like your ability to create, you would say?
No, if I had to say what did, unfortunately, was being in a relationship.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And not in a negative way either.
That's
but
kind
just
of a
like
job.
Yeah, it is. And like it's just dedicating your time. And I remember, like, there were just times where I'd be like, you know, like my ex-girlfriend would want to come over and I'd be like, hey, like, you know, like you can, but like, I'm just not like, I'm just gonna be writing. So you can just kind of hang out, sleep here. And so she would come, she'd sleep and I'd be writing. But then like, I could just like, when she'd wake up, I could feel her being awake and just staring at me.
What
it's like,
you
oh, yeah. And so I'm like, and so I would never be like, babe, can you please get the fuck away from me? I would just be like, you know, all right. So I turn off. Yeah. I was a fucking good boyfriend. So I'd turn off the computer and I'd go hang out with her. And then we'd spend the day up until like 3. I'd come back. And then my dad, you know, always wanted me to keep the house clean. So I'd fucking clean it. And by the time I got done with all that, it was like 8 PM. And that like from 8 PM to like 12 or whatever, whenever I got really tired, I would like edit, write. And so like, it was never a problem for me, but it just did take, like, it just really, like, made me, give me more of a time crunch to get things done. Like, to write scripts, I couldn't just be like, oh, I feel inspired, here we go, let's write. It was just like, all right, I'm not with Nyla anymore, so let me just fucking write really quick, and I'd share pages with her and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, it was fun, but, like, if I'm being honest, it did take up a lot of my time. And after a while, like, when, like, she started working, like, when she got a job, I got really excited, because I'm like, yes, I have more free time, you know, like, it's because she's working too, but, like, I have more free time, so I just be like, all right, I'm just going to write, you know?
I feel that.
Yeah.
How about you? My thing, it's kind of like, I've never gotten so into a job that it's, like, taken away from my time, but I find it hard to use that time to be creative, especially coming out of like a work or coming out of school. Like I mentioned earlier, like you get home and you have fucking 2 hours to yourself and it's really hard to decide, okay, now I'm going to dedicate these 2 hours to more brain power, to focus on this shit. Mm. It's really hard. And it's also hard to get in a creative mindset when you're worried about fucking paying rent, paying bills, fucking the final that's tomorrow, fucking waking up early for work.
See, that's the thing. The stuff I would preoccupy myself with were mindless. Being a boyfriend, mindless. You don't have to be like, how do I make her stay in love with me? It's mindless. You know, driving a fucking pallet, it's just like, here's a bill, drive to this place, show them the bill, unload, have them sign, come back. It's all mindless. And so while I'd be driving, I'd be thinking of ideas and like fucking like writing them like in my notes and everything. And so like,
while driving,
it's different. Yeah, like our lifestyles are different. So I can see why it's tougher for you to get creative. Cause like for me, everything was so mindless that I would just like think about like, oh, okay, so in this scene in Bat Labor, I wanted to do this, you know, or whatever. And so like, but for you, because you're going to school, you're doing, you know, like stuff with like money, you know, like cash registers or whatever. Like it takes up a lot of your brain. Yeah.
Cash register.
I know it sound, I sound like a rich mom that's never been to a supermarket. Like, you know, when you're playing with the cash registers.
You know, bananas. How much are bananas? Like $10? Shout out to Arrested Development for that joke.
Yeah.
I was going to say, fuck, what did you just say? Oh, preoccupying my time and stuff. And you mentioned about the girlfriend taking up your time. And I feel like I've kind of like avoided fucking relationships for that same fear. It's like, I can't fucking juggle something else, you know?
Yeah.
I already have so much shit preoccupying my time that I feel like it's just going to take up the even more of the little time I have to fucking focus on my art and stuff. And so, and then I don't fucking do that. But it's really hard to get in a fucking creative mindset. Even today with like, I wouldn't say I have more free time, but I think I'm in a better creative space than I was a couple months ago. I just find it so difficult to get into the creative mindset. And is there anything you do specifically to get into it? Because for me, I like to listen to music, and then that usually like puts me in a fucking creative mood.
This is gonna, again, the hole for my hate is just gonna get deeper, but I'm just never not thinking about stuff.
Damn.
No, like, it's true. Like, I'm always, so cool. It's funny, I jump, if I'm not thinking about one project, I'll jump from, like, a project that I don't even have, like, a script for yet, or, like, even, like, I have so many, I have, like, a list of movies I want to do, so sometimes I'll be driving and I'll see something like, ooh, this is good for this movie that I want to make when I'm fucking in my 40s, and, like, I'll think about, like, developing that, and then just, like, so I'm always just, like, I notice that I make fun of myself for this too, because I'm like, I'm always just jumping from project to project, like, in my mind, like, when I'm just, but I'm always thinking about stuff, and I think a part of that is just because, like, I'm telling you, a lot of what I do is just mindless. Like, I've been fortunate enough to just be, like right now, well, like, the thing I'm doing right now primarily is cutting Instant Crush. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a little bit of thought to do that, but, like, every now and then I'll just, like, on the way there, like, beforehand, you know, when I'm on my way there, like, I'll just think about, like, oh, this would be cool for this script. I can do this for this script. And even when I'm editing, like, and when I'm just taking breaks, I'm like, oh, this would be fun for this idea. And so I'm always just thinking. I think the only thing that is challenging, I will say, because I am a human, I do have flaws.
Are there any problems in your life, Chris?
Yeah, I will say, though, like, it is hard to, sometimes it is challenging to, like, sit down and put all the ideas that I've been thinking about all day to paper. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, how do I word this? It's like, I don't know. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll record a video of myself talking about it. Mm. And then I'm like, all right, I can kind of like put it together that way. Like, if it's something really hard, and I'll watch it, and I'm like, all right, how do I develop this further? And, you know, yada, yada, yada.
I used to do that. I used to record myself while driving. Like, if I'm going to fucking go to school and it was like an hour and a half drive,
uh-huh.
I would record myself just kind of talking to myself. Like, if I was having a problem, like, with a certain act of a story or something, yeah. I would just be like, all right, so how do I work this out? Can I go this direction? No, I don't know. Can I go this direction?
Let me show you one of the videos I make. Let me see if this is one.
All right.
Okay, this is going to be dope. Now I want a scene in Instant Crush right before the whole fight goes down, when Andy's, like, bummed out about Cindy and everything, where he's driving behind this car and they're kind of going through, like, this private road in the industrial area. It's like Vernon. And the car doesn't spot it. But as it's driving and it's going on the railroad tracks, because there's no, like, sign thing, the fucking railroad thing just hits it.
Shout out to fucking Chris's video. Yeah, I would do exactly that. Is that you driving?
I'm driving, yeah.
Yeah, I would do exactly that, except I wouldn't video record myself. I would just do audio. But you live on the dangerous side of the road.
I do.
You do crazy shit like that. Before we go on a small break, there's one more thing that I know you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so...
And can you walk me through what you wanted to talk about?
So, I mean, this can easily be tied into everything we've been talking about, but I think I also would like to point out, you know, because we're... In a bit, we're going to kind of recap our week, and, you know, it's been a very busy and exciting week
for... It's been super wild.
For all of us. And we'll get into it. I know the three foods we have in here are going to want to jump in, which is
wild,
which
for
is
Southeast
fun.
LA, bro.
Yeah. So I want to talk about, you know, we've been talking about college. We've been talking about, like, how I've been able to be comfortable. And everyone, you know, I know the one thing I would hear from people is, dude, you're just fucking lucky. Oh. It's like, no, I'm not lucky, dude. Like, I'm fucking fortunate. I think the only thing, because here's the thing. To me, luck is something that is out of your control. So if you just keep saying, like, bro, you're lucky, like, you're saying it like I didn't work for this. You're saying, like, I didn't get up every morning at fucking 6 a.m.
to lift this fucking pallet.
Yeah, like, no, and then fill the truck for bad labor with all this equipment. I didn't wake up everybody. I didn't call the cast. I didn't schedule everything. I didn't say, hey, mom, can you bring the food at this time? Like, when you say lucky, you're saying it like it just all fell on me. And, like, oh, mm-hmm. Oh, they're going to give me a premiere. Oh, like, it just happens. It's like, no, dude, it's like I fucking worked for that. And whenever you work for something, that's an act of fortune. Because you made that happen.
You brought the luck to you.
The only time you're ever lucky, I think, is just when you're born. Because that had nothing to do with you. That opportunity really did just fall on you. From then on, like, everything else is pretty much your choice.
Honestly, I think I'm pretty lucky. Like, I've escaped very many unfortunate incidents out of the fucking through the skin of my teeth. Like,
yeah.
Most recently, my car was almost repossessed, and the only reason it wasn't was because my sister, who usually parks her car first, decided to park my car first and blocked me in the driveway, and the repo guy couldn't get to my car, and therefore I had one more day to fucking fix my shit, and that can only be attributed to luck. I was like, what the fuck?
It can be, but even then, I think you should still say fortune, because again, we have to trick our minds. Our minds are looking out for us, but we really have to trick it to these things. So whenever you say, you have to say it like, I think, I'm really telling you have to. I'm not going to be that guy. But I believe that you should tell your brain like, yeah, it was because of me that this happened. Because then you're taking control of all facets of your life. You leave no room. Even if you didn't, you leave no room for just chances. Because then you just open like a little door for like a bad thing to happen. So you're like, no, I'm in control of everything. I have fucking hold of everything. So whenever something cool happens to me, I stop using lucky. Because lucky just feels like it's all out of my hands. It's none of this. It's like no, I was fortunate for Instant Crush. I was fortunate for bad labor. So I personally get away from lucky just because like you're allowing whatever the universe or your brain to believe that everything that happens to you is out of your control. I believe that everything that happens to you was because of you, and whether you were directly involved or not.
You know, that's so funny because I think I disagree with you on that. I think differently. I believe this. I believe that there's like an invisible hand of fate guiding all of us, I think. And I think we're all where we need to be. And stuff like my car not getting repossessed only like adds to my theory of that. Like, yeah. It's like that didn't happen for a reason. So I got to get my shit together and do this shit. Because I've narrowly escaped a lot of unfortunate shit. And I'm like, I always think, why did this happen to me? Like, why was I given this chance? Like, why didn't this happen to me? And why was I given this chance? And so I just feel like because there's somewhere that I need to be and that wouldn't help me get there. And so, like, I just think I feel me as well as everyone else is being guided towards where they need to be. But then that comes into me thinking, like, well, there's some people that are fucking homeless and fucking drug addicts and shit. Like, is that where they're destined to be? And does that mean that there's certain people that are destined to fail?
I think it's a debate that can go on, you know?
And then am I fucking destined to fail? Like, how do I know if I'm...
That's the thing. It's like, I feel like if you just stay in that belief, though, you're kind of like, I don't believe you're destined to fail. There's no way you're fucking destined. But I feel like you let that little sliver of possibility by just feeling like it's somebody invisible. Like you said, this invisible hand. Like, who's the invisible hand?
Who's the invisible hand?
It's fate, bro. Those hands should be yours. You should be guiding your own fucking path. Nobody should tell you what to do. Even like, dude, like, I could very well say that, like, this last breakup I had, like, oh, it happened to me. But instead, like, nah, dude, this happened fucking for me. And I'm taking fucking charge of it. Like, I fucking take advantage of it by losing weight, by fucking getting, you know, more invested in my work. I just think that it's just more beneficial to someone, especially if you're trying to be a creative. Just even if you, again, you're kind of lying to yourself. It's weird to kind of like get into that groove at first, but just lie to yourself. Just have that like, yeah, I'm in control. And then at some point you're going to find that, yeah, dude, like everything that fucking happens to me is because I manifested it. I'm in fucking charge. And I just feel like you'll have just like, you just feel more at ease with everything that goes on. You won't be worried like, fuck, is this going to happen? Like, you know, I went to court the other day and I was, you know, a part of me would have worried back then, like, oh, is the cop going to show up? Am I going to have to pay for this ticket? And when I was there, I'm like, I don't care. If he shows up or not, it's not a big deal. Like, it's going to work out. Like, I always say, like, things are going to work out for me. That's what I'd say in Instagram. Like, well, things are always going to work out for me.
That's what I say, too. I feel things are going to work out because I feel like there's an invisible hand of fate making sure that everything works out.
I think you got to let go of that hand.
I like this mentality because, I don't know, okay. it gives me...
That's you, yeah.
It fucking, I don't know. I like to believe that the fucking world is bigger than it is, and like our purpose here is bigger than it is. I don't think I'm very religious at all, but I do think that I feel life is too special for it to just be like this fucking little blip that means nothing. You know, like I refuse to believe that shit, and so I don't know what I believe, but I do believe there's something bigger, and the invisible hand of fate is the thing that's fucking guiding us, bro.
I don't believe in that hand. So.
I think you are where you need to be.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Dude, come on. Look at all this fucking like coincidence that happened in our lives, from me and you to fucking Justin. Like, we've all been connected. How can you see all of that and not think that there's some like other fucking plan at work?
Because I if I wasn't doing anything, Justin wouldn't have thought to invite me anywhere. If you weren't doing anything, Justin wouldn't have hit you up for anything. You know, but it's all a product of what we do. If I was just a fucking kid that said I liked movies, Justin wouldn't be like, hey, come submit a video to my film festival. Like, no, everything that you do is a product of what you've done. Everything that happens to you is a product of what you've done, I mean, in one way or another.
We're all responsible for why we are where we're at, but I also think there's
an invisible fucking
invisible hand that's just fucking
the invisible hand
guiding our fucking. I know you probably don't like the idea of not being in control of your own destiny. I don't mind.
Well, I think that's a good place to put a pin on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind. It gives me not pleasure, fucking comfort.
Yeah, dude, you sound real comfort.
It gives me comfort just to be like, whatever happens, happens. You know, if I'm fucking.
No, I mean, I do that too, but it's more. I still like decide, like I will decide whether like it breaks me or not. You know, like I'm like, whatever happens. I'm not.
Because for me, it's like I'm gonna go hard, regardless. You know, and this is how I think. If I'm meant to succeed, I'm gonna succeed.
I think this is a good. This is a good way to also just highlight how different, like you know. Obviously,
our mentalities,
and like it neither is wrong or right.
Exactly.
Like people I know for your bits, people will be like, "Yeah, fucking Angel's right. That fucking big-headed idiot is wrong." Exactly. And then for mine, it's like, "Yeah, that fucking big-headed idiot is right. You know, Angel's wrong." But I feel like you know that's
both sides call you big-headed idiot.
Yeah, that's
your haters and your fans.
My haters love me that way.
Team Carmona all the way.
But I think that's why I think this is an important thing because like you know. I never believed in arguing because I'm like, you're not really going to change the person's mind. You're just going to like loudly say, repeat what you believe. And so I think stuff like this is cool because you get to see at the end of it, we're not being like, well, you're fucking wrong and I'm right. Yeah, because it's like, it's whatever works for either of us.
Exactly.
And people are going to believe it or not, like whether we believe it or not, whether I believe it or not, people are going to shake, you know, nod their heads to what you're saying. And people are going to shake their heads to mine and vice versa.
I think it's
that's just how it is.
I think it's important for people to know that there's people that think differently. That can still fucking be friends and make a podcast.
And not just also, that, but coexist.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Know?
Yeah. In the life. Like, it's okay to think, like, there's people that think this, there's people that think that, and that's okay. You can have fucking different thoughts.
Yeah.
Everyone shouldn't all think the same way. And me and you have experienced being in groups where they do want you to think the same way. Mm-hmm. And we're going to leave it at that. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to recap on some exciting stuff that's happened this week. So,
I feel like everybody's just been holding their breath in the background.
Yeah, so we're gonna take a deep breath and come back in 3, 2 and hey everybody, welcome back to the Us Podcast.
We came back from our little break.
A podcast about us.
It's all of us, bro.
Yeah, it's me, it's you, it's everybody.
It's me.
And it's everyone else. There's a couple other guests. So now that we got through the main shit that we had to say, now we're just gonna be loose and wild, loosey goosey, and just kind of kick back and just fucking shoot the shit.
Hang with
bit.
Us. Have a beer.
Yeah, grab a beer.
While you're in your car, stop by 7-Eleven, get a beer, drink that shit as you're driving on the freeway, and listen to us, please. Get blasted on the freeway.
The Us Podcast does not condone drinking and driving. Please separate the two acts while you do it. They're both fun. Driving's fun. Drinking's fun. Don't do that
shit.
So doing
them at the same time?
So doing them at the same time must be double fun. Nah, don't do that shit. Anyway.
Do it.
We're just going to talk about since the last time we hung out, like, what have we done? Maybe give a couple recommendations for some cool shit. Chris, how about you start it? What happened since last time? What happened this weekend? It was pretty uneventful, right?
Yeah, I mean nothing much really happened. Just like you know, I got to see cool movies this week.
There was a little film festival happening. I think there was this movie called Bad Labor that screened.
Yeah, at the Chinese Theater. It was pretty good.
That shit was super dope.
I enjoyed it.
All of fucking Southeast LA was there.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking beautiful. You guys can talk. You can
yeah,
talk.
I was there.
It
was great.
Yeah.
I wasn't. It was congratulations, Chris.
Yeah, George wasn't there, but...
No, George wasn't there.
Most of Southeast LA
was
there.
I was
there.
On the list.
And,
it was a pretty good amount.
Yeah, and people that were there...
Teachers, fucking friends.
Dude, they were fucking lit as fuck. Me
was
Too
amazing.
Was there.
Me Too was in the house. It was beautiful.
Edward James Olmos was there in spirit.
He was. I don't know why he didn't make our movie, but...
But man, that shit was a
he
lot
was
of
there
fun.
All day, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, he's just kicking it.
It was a super cool screening, super cool movie, and it just like I loved what it represented. It was just like, dude, a fucking filmmaker from Southeast LA got their fucking movie screened in the Chinese Theater. And
that's really why I made it. You know, like amongst other reasons, like I just thought like I'm telling you, like once I found out we had a name thanks to Justin, like I thought like, dude, like
fuck yeah, like, let's fucking put us on the map now. Let's now do what Dre and, you know, NWA did for Compton. Fuck yes. Let's fucking put us, like, on the map, like, but really put us on the map.
B-E-L-L.
That's right,
that's Bell. That's going on a fucking
and
rap
And, you know,
song.
In this whole experience, dude, it's been a crazy week. I fucking got a new car.
Fuck yeah.
I got Carmona two write-ups on me. Yeah, no, the Carmona Mobile. I'm going to call it that. I didn't think about calling that.
Of
I love
course
it.
You have to.
Now that's what it's going to be called.
Fucking Carmona.
Pantera, I love that.
Fucking Carmona Worldwide.
So we got quite a few write-ups on us. Like, I got to be able to be on the not the cover, but like on a page of the LA Weekly.
He's inside the LA Weekly.
I'm inside this week's issue of the LA Weekly, which is the week of, what is it again? Let's see, I have it right here.
You got a fucking Remezcla write-up.
That I got a Remezcla write-up. Okay, so for the week of June 22nd to 28, 2018, volume 40, I'm on that LA Weekly.
For all you LA Weekly collectors out there. That's the
they're
one.
Out there.
That's the one with Chris on it.
I'm on the
in it.
I'm on page 14.
Page 14.
There. So yeah, there was that. I mean, I met a bunch of great new filmmakers. One who I met a fucking check this out. I met a female filmmaker, 17 years old, mm-hmm. had a short at the Lolly Film Festival, and we're gonna interview her on the next episode. Her name is Leonisa Duarte.
A fucking sneak peek at the next.
Yes, sir. She's incredible. She's smart, and she has like a big announcement that she's gonna drop. So really excited for her.
I'm fucking excited because I don't even know. Chris knows.
I know.
Do you know?
I do know. We're very tight, me and her.
Holy shit.
So to say the least, it's been a very nuts week. I was very happy with the beautiful turnout at the Chinese theaters.
Dude, and in general, I will say this. This was a fucking awesome weekend for Latinos fucking everywhere.
Dude, fuck yeah.
Not only was La Leaf happening, which was fucking the Los Angeles International... No.
Yeah, Los Angeles
Latino International Film Fest.
There you go.
We had fucking... NALEAP happening at the same fucking time, which is the National Association of
Independent Latino Producers.
Damn!
I volunteered. And here's the beautiful thing. I want to point this out before you go ahead. This time last year, bro, I was a volunteer at NALEAP working for free. I was picking up chairs. I was helping, you know, like set up tables. I even got the Altons to play at their event. Last minute, while Justin was in Mexico, I called him like, bro, can we get the Altons? You're like, fuck yeah. And he arranged it from fucking Mexico crazy. And they came. We unloaded them and everything. It was great.
Shout out to the Altons.
So just that year before, in 2017, I was a volunteer for NALEAP. And a year later, I was back in that same area when they were having their big media summit. But now as a filmmaker. And Ben, the guy who runs it, he's like, here, let me get you an industry industry pass thing. And I was like, dude, I was a fucking volunteer for, and I had to pay for shit for that. So it's great, dude. Like, I'm saying, it's like, when you see the progress from like then and now, it's like, it's fucking awesome.
Dude, so my story is, I got into the NALEAP Media Summit through this program that I'm a part of now called the Evolve Entertainment Fund, which was... It's like a fucking initiative to get people paid internships in the fucking film industry, but also like just cultivate fucking young filmmakers and actually help them become known filmmakers and not just fucking be like, here's a summer internship, goodbye, you know? And this shit was made by Ava DuVernay, fucking director of Selma, and my homeboy, Mayor Eric Garcetti. Yes, shout out to fucking Mayor Eric Garcetti.
Shouts out.
And so me and six other fucking interns were given the chance to go to this media summit, and I didn't know the fucking passes were like $450.
They're expensive.
They were expensive as fuck, and I'm sitting at this fucking luncheon with us, all these fucking HBO, NBC, Warner Brothers fucking people, and I'm at this fucking table with waiters coming over being like, do you want iced tea or lemonade? Oh, the chicken. Do you want chicken or parfait? And all this fucking fancy shit, and I'm like, dude, where the fuck am I? And it was a fucking good time. Mayor Eric Garcetti fucking dropping some knowledge bombs. Got to speak to him privately. There's a fucking picture on his Instagram. And it looks like, it's so funny because when you look at it from afar, like, it looks cool. You zoom in on my face and my fucking eyes are closed.
I'm going to check that out right now.
You just go to Mayor of LA, I think. That's his fucking Instagram.
Damn, flexing.
Yeah, bro. Mayor of LA. I'm on there.
I see it. Your eyes are definitely closed. You look high as fuck.
Dude, my fucking eyes are closed. This girl next to me, fucking Joanna.
I know.
Joanna.
She's just looking at you. She's like, bro, are you doing?
She's like, why the fuck are you speaking right now? And what sucks is that there's a girl directly directly next to Eric Garcetti that's being covered in that photo.
I see it.
And so she's like, oh my god, like, I'm not even there, dude.
That's
and
dope,
so
man.
I attended a lot of fucking dope ass panels. Shout out to Marvin Lemus, fucking again, co-creator of Hentified, nice. Was at there. Shout out to my current boss, Sonia Perryman of fucking Wise Entertainment. It was just a bunch of fucking dope ass people of color making dope ass shit. I attended this panel of female directors, and they were all so dope. And my heart was so full this weekend.
What do you think this means for the future now? Like, what, like, does this get you excited? Like, what's now? What do you think is coming up next?
Dude, I have never been more pumped to fucking be a Latino creator than I am right fucking now.
Same, man.
Like, I think shit's about to burst, and in a good way.
I think, you know, for the longest time, you know, like, and it sucks because, like, a lot of times, like, we, especially being a minority, and like a filmmaker, being a filmmaker is already competitive enough, and you sort of like you have these frenemy relationships with other directors if you're trying to become one. Mm-hmm. But especially now being a minority director, a Latino director, it's like there's that pressure. It's like there could only be one of us, you know, yeah, one of us first generation.
There's only
you know?
Three amigos.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I feel like nowadays, at least with the cool, like the people that like don't suck, like everyone's starting to realize, like, dude, like we're all coming up together. Like we got to fucking lock arms. Like there's no, we can't like. You know, kick another person. I was like, no, it's for me. It's not for you. I bring everybody up.
There's enough competition in the fucking film industry that we can't fight with each other. We gotta fucking come up together. And I think what's cool is that all the people that grew up with all these like stereotype movies are getting old enough to fucking change this shit. You know, it's like the people that grew up with Stand and Deliver.
Yes,
There Will Be Blood.
Will be blood.
Not There Will Be Blood. Fucking blood.
I'm like, yeah, what does oil mining have to do with this?
fucking blood in, blood out. Oops. Blood in, blood out.
Blood in, blood out. Yeah, American Me. All with Edward James Olmos, by the way.
Yeah. Huh?
Which one?
Independence Day makes me all patriotic.
We're talking about like stereotypical Latino movies. Movies. Like ones the ones that are like. Hey, hey, what's calculas? Hey,
it's like you gotta respect the culture. Yeah, you know?
It's just like this is my familia.
This is I got family.
Yeah, shit like that. I think even though like growing up, we're like fuck yeah, that's my homies
yeah, that's
right
us.
There. That's me. I think we're getting to a point where we look back on these movies and we're like, the fuck, man, that's what you gave us. Those are the movies we have to look up to.
And. I know that the hole is just getting deeper, but like self-reference myself, there's a line in the movie Bad Labor
Bad Labor, directed by Chris Carmona,
where the assassin Stanley asks the day laborer Roberto, he's like, hey man, so tell me your story. He's like, why'd you come here? And then Roberto goes like, I don't know, man. Like, I guess I just came here for a better life. And then Stanley goes like, no, man. Come on. That's boring as shit. Every fucking Mexican that crosses over says that shit. Give me something original. Give me the tale of Beto. I came to this country because. I wrote that line because there's a movie that's actually kind of like low-key my shade at this movie called The Better Life, which I thought was fine. It's kind of it's also about like a guy who loses his truck, like a day laborer kind of, like a gardener. But to me, it's just like everyone assumes that that's just all we came here for. It's like, no, like some people just kind of had like, some people just came just like, hey man, let's start a fucking band in the U.S. And they get here like, oh, we can't do that? Fuck it. Let's just have a family. You know, it's like, I just think it's just like, it goes, I think everyone's story is so different and so special to themselves that it just goes beyond like, nobody, not everybody just came here just for a better life. Like, granted, that does happen, but sometimes it's just for, you know, a silly dream or just because, you know, they just wanted to come. That's it. Not for a better life particularly, but just because, you know, they just wanted to live in the U.S.
Exactly. And I think, you know, just hearing that, I was Googling something right now just to confirm, but like, I remember being somewhere and they had like this wall of like Latino idols and stuff, right? And one of the fucking people on there is fucking Jack Black.
I
just Googled, is Jack Black Latino? Because I wanted to be fucking 100% sure. And he's not. He's a fucking white guy. Right, and he's on this fucking wall of like Latino idols, and you fucking put Jack Black on there.
Jack Black's
Mexican national treasure.
You fucking put.
I don't mind Jack Black joining.
I fucking mind.
He's part of the. He's invited to the Carne Asada, no? He's invited to all the Carne Asada.
Not mine. Not Jack Black. No, I mean he can come as himself. He can't come as Nacho.
Guitar.
I just like. I like Jack Black, but what the fuck? Keep him off this wall of Latino heroes. That's like putting the fucking Tapatio
but
man.
But I know the Tapatio man is on there. No! By the way, he is. Trust me. I know what wall you're talking about. I've seen it enough, and the Tapatio man is definitely.
I think it's like someone obviously did it for a purpose, and it's a joke. But
I mean,
Jack Black.
But that's the thing. I don't find anything wrong with that. But I think it's just cool that one day, like, we'll fucking come up with iconic ass characters that, like, all right, sorry, Jack Black, you're fucking dope, but you gotta go. We're gonna replace it with a real fucking Latino, yeah. You know, icon.
I would like
Speedy Gonzalez.
He is on there, by the way.
Speedy.
I swear to God, I've looked at this frame by frame, okay, and he's on
that's
there.
That's pretty dope. I mean, I'll be like, whatever. I don't think Jack Black and Speedy, so I'm on a winning streak. Whatever.
My problem with that is that if you have this wall that's supposed to inspire all these Latinos that are working at your company, why do you have fucking Nacho Libre? Why do you have the Tapatio man? Why do you have Speedy Gonzalez? Like, all these fucking blatantly fucking racist and fucking just stereotypical shit. Oh man, that shit pisses me off. And it's like, and fucking Steve Martin,
Chevy Chase, and Martin Short, they're on there.
Three Amigos, come on!
I love that movie.
Yeah, all these are good movies. They're good movies, they're good. But fuck, man, like, they shouldn't be on that wall.
It's now that becomes our mission. Like, fucking, you know, one day they're gonna put your characters up there. They're gonna put fucking Roberto Vargas on there.
Roberto Vargas. It's like putting Stanley on there.
I know. It's like, instead of Roberto, they put Stanley on the wall.
Exactly. It's shit like that.
They put Ugly Betty Girl, but not like Betty La Fea or any of that. Like,
no, none of that.
Crazy.
Gets no love.
Yeah.
She's from Miami.
Yeah. So I think that wall is a pretty good representation of like where Latinos are at right now. Yes. Where it's like, we have our heroes, but there's also this very recent history of like white people playing Mexicans and Mexicans being the fucking butt of the joke that we still need to fucking cross off our history, because we always have to know what came before.
Let's just rewrite over that.
Yeah,
though.
It's just shit that we have to fucking change.
Yeah.
And it's like, fucking take Speedy Gonzalez off there, please. Like, shit like that.
I want him.
I love Speedy.
No.
And the whole Looney Tunes, first of all, Looney Tunes is all like,
that's putting Bugs Bunny in a sombrero like, on there.
Looney Tunes is super
like
racist.
Elmer Fudd's, like, they're all like some sort of stereotype, but it's their own little character or whatever. And I actually feel like, you know, like, I love Looney Tunes, and I saw it in Mexico too. And I'm like, fucking Speedy Gonzalez was just a gangster. That's why I dig him. But like for example,
I love opposing opinions, it's great.
The Simpsons, I dig that.
There's the dude in the bee costume, right?
Yeah.
I bet that fucking bee guy's on.
He's not.
And, I know. It's
that's where they cross. That's where the line.
He's yellow.
He's doing like a whole like Chavo del Ocho like parody, and I dig it. Like, yeah. I go up frequently, and I just know how it is, and I'm just like. You know, I dig it, and there's nothing to hate about it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with embracing, like, you know, what white Hollywood has, like, given us. Like, you know, Nacho Libre, I know people love that movie, and they quoted it endlessly, but it's like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having those people on the wall, but it is nice to know that one day we're gonna actually replace, like, kind of like the filler. Just think of them as fillers, they like placeholders, filler. You know, for the real thing, you know?
They are filler. But it still upsets me. It's just like, fuck, man. Like, we have so little heroes to look up to, you know? Like, yeah, we have Selena.
That's where we come in and create.
But, like, do you need many? Like, just a hero can change.
Look at all the fucking movie heroes that white people have. Literally, you can fucking spend hours just listing all these fucking white protagonists. But I fucking tell you to name some like Latino protagonists, and you might get fucking four deep, and then you say fucking Nacho Libre. it's like Selena, Edward James Olmos, fucking Richie La Bamba guy.
Yeah, he is Filipino. And I was even gonna say fucking Antonio Banderas, but he's Spain. He's from Spain.
Dude, and that's another problem I have. Fucking Spain. I have a problem with Spaniards fucking playing Mexicans.
Oh boy.
I have a problem with that.
Why?
Because they're not fucking Mexican. And they cast Spaniards because they're lighter skinned. You know? And so like the little girl in Logan. She's fucking from Spain.
She's from Spain,
but she
yeah.
plays a Mexican girl. And she's fucking fantastic in the movie. But I just think that the studios don't want to cast a fucking little Mexican girl. Because she's going to be brown.
Yeah.
Diego Luna's fucking
Mexican as fuck. Shouts out. Love
Shout out Diego Luna.
And Gael.
Dude, he was at fucking Malib, and I
saw
fucking...
him. Oh, he's beautiful. I just saw him in passing. I didn't say anything to him though.
And then like shout out to like that one movie recently came out, Overboard with
Derbez.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, like shout out to that. I mean, like I haven't seen it, but like I'm gonna probably take my mother.
Dude, fucking be glad about any brown person doing anything.
That's really the theme of the fucking week, dude. Like,
yeah, dude.
Like, you know, I know, like, you know, sometimes I even feel bad about like posting like about like the LA Weekly stuff or the Romesco article, but I think like, look, the people that are smart enough to use this as motivator rather than be like, man, fuck this guy, you know, like exactly. Fucking show off, like those are the people that it's for. It's like, hey man, look what I was able to fucking do. I'm only 21. Like, it's not even about trying to be the fucking youngest in the game. It's like, look how quickly I was able to jump on board this train, and fucking, you guys are all fucking coming with me. Let's go. So that's really a good way to kind of cap it off, like with the week.
Exactly.
The whole week has been.
So the week has just been a fucking wild ride for Latinos in the film industry.
Mm.
And it's personally inspired me.
It's exciting, dude.
It inspired Chris.
Really exciting. I'm telling you, there's a rumbling. There's a fucking rumbling. It inspired
fucking everybody. That's the positive side. Yeah, dude. And this shit's gonna be a fucking fun ride, bro. This is just the beginning.
Just the beginning.
And I'm so excited. But we're wrapping up here. But before we go, I would like to talk about some stuff that we love this week or just we're loving recently.
Sure.
And just recommend some cool shit. Because okay. I recently saw a pretty cool show that I'm a little late to the game for. But I saw this show with also Latinos in it called One Day at a Time.
And, oh, the sitcom, the Netflix sitcom.
And that show,
is it good?
I thought I was going to hate it.
Because I
fucking hate sitcoms.
I hate, yeah.
But dude, it is so refreshing. And that's a word I keep hearing people say, like, oh, it's so refreshing. And I didn't get what they meant.
Yeah.
It's just nice to see a fucking sitcom with shit that you can relate to. Like a fucking... So the first episode, they tackle a lot of shit in one episode. They tackle like the daughter of the main character doesn't want to have a quinceañera because she doesn't like the misogynist roots that quinceañeras are tied to. And the mom is dealing with the pressure of being a single mom, and her doctor is telling her to take these like antidepressant pills, and she doesn't want to because she knows her mom is going to judge her for it because fucking Mexican
mental
moms
health.
Because Mexican moms are like that. Like they don't fucking believe in mental health and shit like that. And it's a fucking single mom dealing with like her fucking or the husband like left and shit like that. And it's just like, holy shit. It's just such a nice show to watch.
Interesting.
And it's super wholesome and it's really funny. And from what I'm hearing from people that it's like the first episode is a pretty rough watch. So if I enjoy. So
One Day at a Time.
So if I enjoyed the first episode, they say I'm going to like it going forward.
Okay.
And so I'm going to stick with it.
That's dope.
And that shit was very fun. And I hope that shit stays for a long time. Because we need shows like that, you know? Like, I fucking loved watching Full House and Friends and shit like that growing up.
Mm.
Now, imagine if I had a show full of Latinos, like a Friends full of Latinos or a Full House full of Latinos. Like, I might have
This is just like the one stepping stone that will lead to the Latino Friends without it having to be like, hey, you ready for the mariachi practice this week?
You guys are ready for burritos in New York. Shit like that. Like,
yeah, where it's just like, you know.
So I think this show is a fucking great step in the right direction. And dude, I highly recommend it to anyone, Latinos and non-Latinos alike.
That's beautiful, man.
You're not bringing up El Mundial.
Oh shit! I forgot that's happening.
Yeah, that right happened. Me too. I don't follow sports. That's
oops.
Why. I mean, there's a reason we're doing podcasts.
Yeah, but Latino shit. I'm like,
that's true. I'm Wednesday. Sorry. And this is why you have to hang out with fucking everybody because everyone misses a little bit of info.
Yeah.
So, fucking Mexico beat Germany, right?
The first time,
and then Mexico also beat Korea. South Korea. Shout out to fucking Mexico. For fucking...
Two wins, bro.
For doing some dope shit.
I think if they win, martial law is going to take over.
Dude, I honestly... I will tell you right now, Mexico winning is so fucking crazy in our city right now. Like, especially Pacific Boulevard.
Pacific Boulevard
is fucking ridiculous anytime Mexico wins. And
it's just in, you know. You're gonna see some shit go down.
Martial law. That'd be scary,
Who are they playing against?
Sweden.
Watch your fucking back,
Watch
Sweden.
Watch your back, Sweden. Is that a Swedish accent?
Watch your back of Sweden.
Watch your back of Sweden.
We're gonna kick your ass.
We like to be a little racist from time to time.
Every now and then. We don't have any sweet listening.
Chris, do you have any recommendations for shit that you've been enjoying this week?
I can really only speak to just because I've been so focused on like the film festival.
Yes, recommend a fucking film you saw.
So there's a lot of great movies out there. I mean, I only got to see a few because I believe I saw the best ones. So I'll name like the four that I watched. So the best movie I saw there, and you should look out for it. It's a movie from Paraguay, which is like an area that you almost never hear about. Mm-hmm. And it's a film called the Los Buscadores, but the English translation is called The Gold Seekers. Dude, it's fucking fun. Mm-hmm. It's a movie I wish, it's a caper movie that I wish Hollywood would make. It's about mm-hmm. these two kids that find this like treasure map in this book, and they like go on this quest to find it in Paraguay, and it's really funny. It's beautifully shot, and it's just fun. It's like, it's smart, and it's like the way it ends too. I'm like, if Hollywood would have made this ending, it wouldn't just like end it here. It would cut to black and then show the resolution. Like the way it ends though is like, it's fun. Like it's just it's incredible. I believe you. It's worth it. Trust me. The payoff is really fun.
The
Goonies meet the never ending story.
In Paraguay, which is fun.
Let's hope that shit gets a fucking a limited or worldwide
release. I hope
so.
It's really fantastic. I saw after that, another movie I saw that was my second favorite at the festival is a film called Bad Lucky Goat, and it's a movie that takes place in this like island in Colombia that's like kind of like Jamaica. And these kids, they run over a goat with their car, and they have to figure out how they're supposed to fix the car that they totaled by hitting this goat. And they go on this like quest to try to like, you know, kind of take money from a bunch of people and like find schemes to like make money and everything. And it's a really fun and beautifully shot movie. The guy actually who directed that, Samir Oliveros, he was on the cover with me and Leonessa, the filmmaker. That's his film. It's really great.
All right, I'm capping you off on two recommendations. We are out of time.
Sure.
But before I go, I'm gonna shout out Jaden Smith because I'm really liking your album right now. That's it.
Bible Black.
Jaden, you need that shout out.
Shout out Jaden Smith. Shout out Sire. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. It's pretty. It's not that new.
Will Smith rap in Sire?
Oh yeah! Shout out to the Will Smith remix of Icon. The fucking reggaeton remix of Icon with Will Smith. It's fucking ridiculous.
I'm going to cap that right there. We got to close it off, Jenison. I was going to call you Jenison. I don't know why. That's your new name. Jenison. All right.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much for joining us on this The Us Podcast.
Episode 4.
And it was so dope. Thank you to our silent but not so silent guests of having us tonight. And I hope you guys enjoyed the fucking episode. And I hope you guys join us next time.
The next one's going to be dope. I promise.
See y'all later. Good night.
See ya.
Y'all have a good night.
It's all of us.
Us Podcast.
Hey everyone, that was another episode of the Us Podcast. Make sure you catch us on our social medias. I am at Los Angel I Salinas on Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the Chris Carmona.
Make sure you follow us on social media.
No!
It's okay. Make sure you follow the podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Write us a review. Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Please.
Please. All right. Bye.
That sounded pretty good.